Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as you know, Paul has returned now to the doctrine of sanctification, Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 14. And he says, first of all, there's something for you to understand. You've got to understand truth properly before you can take correct action. And so what you have to understand is, first of all, the obligation that you have taken upon yourself with your identification with Jesus Christ. And secondly, you need to understand your danger if you are not genuine. And the obligation is in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. And that's just simply to remind us that if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, or claim to be, then we have a responsibility to live in the Spirit, in the realm of the Spirit, not in the realm of the flesh. That is an obligation. That is a debt that we have voluntarily incurred. Now, we have a lot of nonsense in our day about what it means to believe on Jesus Christ. And to many people, that concept has been reduced to nothing more than an assent to the facts about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And if you believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and you'll ask him to be your Savior, then you are eternally saved, eternally secure, no matter what. That's not what Paul says. Yes, you must believe the facts about Christ's death and burial and resurrection. That's certainly the heart of the gospel as far as the information about the gospel is concerned. Nobody can be saved doubting those facts or denying those facts, but saving faith is more than giving assent to this historical knowledge. It is a matter of surrendering yourself to Jesus, who is now your new Lord and Master, this one who died for you, who was buried for you, who rose again for you, that is, for all who trust in him, now has a claim upon the lives of those that he has redeemed. Redemption is to buy out of the marketplace, to redeem or purchase a slave out of the marketplace. That's the whole idea of redemption. If Christ has redeemed you, then he has bought you unto himself. He has bought you out of the marketplace of sin, and you now belong to him, and you now have an obligation to him. You are now indebted to him. Recognize that. Understand that. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, but to the Spirit. To live according to the Spirit is what Paul is saying. I added those words because they are not in verse 12, though they are stated in similar language in verse 13 after another phrase or two. But that's the point here. And you need to understand your obligation as a professing child of God because, and that brings us to your danger in verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. And as we explained in the broadcast yesterday, that simply means that if you are living after the flesh, you are no true child of God. You will die. That is spiritual death, eternal separation from God, in spite of what you have claimed, in spite of what you have professed, in spite of what you have said that you believe, because the fact of the matter is, it was no true faith. It was a mere empty profession. because God's salvation does more than write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It does do that, but it does more than that. God's salvation works a change in your heart. New heart, new life, new desires, new master, new direction. If you don't have any of that, then what makes you think you have Christ? That's what the Holy Spirit does in bringing men and women to Christ. If He hasn't done that in bringing you to Christ, then what makes you think that you have been brought to Christ? So therefore, understand your danger. In other words, if you are continuing to live in the realm of the flesh, just like you did before you made that decision for Christ, then that must not have been a Holy Spirit-wrought decision. You are in danger. Maybe greater danger than before, because before, you weren't deceived about your condition. You apparently recognized that you were in danger. You wanted to do something about it, and so you prayed the prayer and thought you'd taken care of it. But you see, it's not so much what you have done as what God has done. And the question is, has God the Holy Spirit worked a change in your life? Has He regenerated your soul? Has He birthed you into the family of God? Has He given you a new heart? For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So if you are still living according to the flesh, then evidently you've never been saved. That's what the danger is. Understand your danger. Now, as I said briefly on the broadcast yesterday, and I want to elaborate more upon it now, there are perhaps three ways of viewing this relationship between holiness and the Christian. And there is what I will label as the Arminian view, and it's not important that you understand what that label means, but the teaching is basically that because holiness is absolute, security is tentative. And this is the idea that you can never know for sure that you are eternally saved or eternally secure, because you can always lose it. You might be saved today and lost tomorrow. If you don't keep yourself in the path of holiness, then you have no security. And so in Arminian churches, particularly those of the more extreme variety, people are continually coming to the altar and getting saved again and again and again and again, according to their theology. Of course, they're not really, that's not what's really happening, but that's what they think is happening. That's what they say is happening. I was saved, I lost it, because I'm supposed to be holy. In some strands of this theology, there's a strong emphasis upon holiness, but the holiness that is in view is generally not the inward fruit of the Spirit that the Bible speaks of in regard to holiness, but it tends to be more of an external legalism. And I'm not saying that there's no relationship between the two. There really is, between what is inward and what is outward. But when the focus is primarily upon what is outward, then you've got it all backwards. And so, in that church, you find people that are singing, not literally, but they are acting as if they sing, "Ye must be born again, 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 ye must be born again, 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 again." Because, since in their minds, holiness is absolute, you have to be holy in order to see the Lord, and their holiness tends to be sort of an absolute standard of external legalism, then security is always tentative. You can never be secure. You can never know for sure. You can never be certain that you will be saved tomorrow, even if you are today. But there's another position that is just as wrong and just as dishonoring to the Lord, and that's what we will call the Calminian position. There's the Arminian position, there's a Calminian position. What's that? Well, that's sort of a halfway point between historic Arminianism and historic Calvinism. And the Calminian position might be stated in this way: because security is absolute, holiness is optional. You get the difference? The Arminian position, because holiness is absolute, security is tentative, or security is optional. Well, the Calvinian will come along and say, because security is absolute, holiness is optional. In other words, because we believe so strongly in once saved, always saved, we believe so strongly in eternal security, that if you've ever been saved, meaning, that's the language they use is, if you've ever been saved, what they really mean by that is, you've ever made a profession of faith, well, we will assume that you have been saved. We will just equate a profession with salvation. We don't wait to see fruit. We don't insist upon there being a change of life. We just assume that a profession of faith is genuine, because if you asked Christ to save you, then of course God had to do it. He's obligated to. He can't deny himself. He must keep his promises, etc., etc., etc. We've heard all these statements and arguments before, but it is ignoring what the Bible is teaching. And so this position is, because security is absolute, then holiness is optional. And I actually read a book based on this position, read it many years ago now, but it basically said, if you've ever once believed in Jesus, if you've ever once made that decision, doesn't matter what you're doing now, no connection between a past point of time where you supposedly exercised faith and what exercise of faith is going on in your life right now. If you ever once made that decision, then it doesn't matter what happens to you. You are guaranteed going to heaven. You could even, this book said, could even become an atheist. And as an atheist, you could die and still go to heaven, because once saved, always saved. You once made that decision, because security is absolute. Therefore, holiness is optional. Therefore, even faith is optional. That is present faith, ongoing faith. What nonsense. What nonsense. What a distortion of Scripture. What a guaranteed way to dishonor the Lord and to confuse the people of God and to confuse the world about what it means to be a Christian. But the Bible position is that holiness is mandatory, yes. Security is absolute, yes. But deception is prevalent. What do I mean by that? Yes, holiness is mandatory. Everybody who is genuinely saved will be sanctified. Not totally until we get to heaven, but it's not possible for there to be no ongoing work of sanctification taking place in your life here upon the earth. Sanctification is not optional. It is mandatory. Security is absolute because salvation is of the Lord. And he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's grip don't slip. Anyone that Christ has saved is guaranteed of final salvation. But deception is prevalent. A lot of folks who have made professions of faith and claim to be Christians who've never truly been born again, they're claiming security on the basis of an empty profession, and that doesn't get you anywhere except to be deceived. So you've made a profession of faith. The question is, have you been born again? So you say you're trusting Christ. The question is, have you truly believed in your heart? Not have you prayed a prayer, not have you said, I have faith, but have you had genuine faith? How can you tell? You can only tell if you see an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that's the work of sanctification. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.